property.
I'll be reading from 1 Thessalonians 2, 10 through 13. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorteth and comforteth and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which ye heard of us, ye received it, not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe.
Good morning to everyone. Today's a big day for some of us. I'm going to talk about Father's Day today. So first I'd like to give the history of Father's Day. The first known celebration of Father's Day was on July 5, 1908, in Fairmont, West Virginia, where it was commemorated at a Methodist church. Grace Clayton is believed to have suggested it to her pastor after a deadly explosion in a nearby town in December, killing 361 men in a mine. It was also during a sermon in 1909 that Sonora Dodd became inspired by Mother's Day. After the death of her mother, Sonora wanted to show her how thankful she was to her father. And because William was born in June, she worked very hard to have the first Father's Day celebrated on June 19, 1910. In 1924, President Coolidge recommended that Father's Day become a national holiday. President Johnson designated the third Sunday of June to be Father's Day in 1966. In 1972, Nixon made it a national observance. So Mother's Day was, 80 years before Father's Day came about? I guess that tells us how important we are in society. Dads are different. And moms, I'm sure you know that. Dads are different. They're different than moms. They parent differently. They protect differently. They teach differently. Moms buy bumper pads. Dads buy Band-Aids. Moms schedule play days. Dads encourage throwdowns. Some of you are not going to be happy about this, and of course, there are lots of exceptions to these rules. But overall, there just do seem to be different styles inherent between moms and dads. I want to tell you a joke about a mom and dad, and this is a joke. I don't know if it's true. But new parents, mom and dad had a sibling, a daughter, that was just at the age where she could crawl. And this is going to stereotype dads a little bit, but I think most of it's true. And mom has put the sibling to bed up in the crib, and she tells the dad, she says, "I've got things to do in the other room. It's your job to watch our daughter for a while." So she goes in the other room, and the dad's reading his newspaper, and he hunkers down as if he didn't hear her, and sits there and reads his newspaper, and he hears a loud thud. And then he hears a couple little thuds, and then he hears a loud scream. And what does he do? He looks up from his newspaper, and he yells, "Dear, honey, come out here as quick as you can. Our daughter just took her first 12 steps. Isn't it great?" And if you think back as fathers, there's probably something like that that's happened to all of us. When we don't pay attention to what our wives are saying as they're leaving, and we get ourselves into a situation that we try to figure out how we're going to get out of. And then I heard another story, and this really stereotypes dads. And what I'm going to talk about is how different dads are today. Story of a young mother who went down to the nursery, and they just had a newborn, so mom and dad are at the hospital. At the hospital, and found her young husband peering down at his newborn baby who was asleep. The mother could tell he was captivated by the scene as he stood there looking at the sleeping infant. She was so touched that finally she tiptoed up behind him and slipped her arm through his and said, "Honey, what are you thinking about?" He said, "I just can't understand how they're able to make a crib like this for $89.95. It just sounds like us. Fathers are different. Moms like to invest in a lot of protective gear. Bike helmets, knee pads, water wings. Dads tend to be both hands-on and hands-off. And I can give you a lot of examples of what I've done. Swimming lessons. Well, we take kids to swimming lessons, and then we just expect that they're pros, so we take them on a white water rafting trip right afterwards, thinking, they've had swimming lessons, they're ready to go. Bike pushing. We take them out, and we push their bike around, and we do this for a day or two, and then all of a sudden we take the training wheels off, like, you know, an hour or two on the bike is fine. They should go, and that's why we have the Band-Aids that we went out and bought. We buy them bigger knee pads and take them on the biggest hill we can take them with their skateboards, figuring the knee pads are bigger, they can handle bigger things. Moms say, "You worried me so much." And dads say, "Don't worry too much. We'll be fine." Isn't it great to be a man? There's a lot of things on the internet that talk about, isn't it great to be a man? And all the women in the room are saying, "Why?" Well, I'm going to give you some things that talk about it's great to be a man. Phone conversations are over in 30 seconds flat. And I think some of you women are just saying that's true. They don't talk, they don't say anything, and they hang up the phone. A five-day holiday requires only one suitcase. When clicking through the channels, which we never do, you don't have to stall at every shot of somebody crying. Car mechanics tell you the truth. You can admire Clint Eastwood without starving yourself to look like him. Gray hair and wrinkles only add character to men. You can go to the bathroom without a support group. If someone forgets to invite you to something, he can still be your friend. You can drop by to see a friend without bringing a gift. If another guy shows up at the same party at the same outfit, you might become lifelong buddies. And my wife's going to really relate to this one. One wallet, one pair of shoes, one color for all seasons. You just got to love it. That's probably my favorite. And there's always a game on somewhere. And with the channels we have today, that's true. There is always a game on. And this is another really one that I like. Your pals can be trusted never to trap you with this. So notice anything different? Your pals will never trap you with that if you're a man. And then one of my favorites, and I do this all the time, you can do your nails with a pocket knife. I've just never seen a woman do that. Probably every man in here has. Dads are different. Dads just seem to be like some of the tools in the garage that are just sitting there until you need them. I'm going to give you a list of, here's the top things that you will never hear dad say. I'm going to give you 10 things that you'll never hear your dad say. "Well, how about that? I'm lost. Looks like we'll have to stop and ask for directions." "My family's never heard that. I'll drive for hours. We'll find it." Number two, "You know, pumpkin, now that you're 13, you'll be ready for unchaperoned car dates. Won't that be fun?" Number three, I notice that all your friends have a certain hostile attitude. I like that. Number four, here's a credit card and the keys to my new car. Go crazy. What do you mean you want to play football? Figure skating not good enough for you, son? Your mother and I are going away for the weekend. You might want to consider throwing a party. Well, I don't know what's wrong with your car. Probably one of those doohickey thingies, you know, that make it run or something. Just have it towed to the mechanic and pay whatever he asks. Ever heard your dad ever say that? Ever happened? Here's a good one. This is for my son. No son of mine is going to live under this roof without an earring or a tattoo. Now quit your belly aching and let's go to the mall. Never hear me say it. Another one is, what do you want to go and get a job for? I make plenty of money for you to spend. And last, what do I want for my birthday? Ah, don't worry about that. It's no big deal. Now, they may say that one, but they don't mean it. Everybody's birthday is important. There's always been a need for dads. Dads are very important. God gives us an example of how to be a dad in Luke 15, 11 through 32, and that's where I'm going to get my thoughts this morning. And he said, a certain man hath two sons. The younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that follow to me. And he divided unto him his living. And not many days after the younger son gathered all together, he took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him unto his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet great way off, his father saw him, and had compassion, and ran, and fell on his neck, and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven, and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. And bring hither the fatted calf, and kill it, and let us eat, and be merry. And this my son was dead, and is alive again. He was lost, and is found. And they began to be merry. Now his elder son was in the field, and as he came and drew nigh to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said unto him, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf, because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was angry, and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and entreated him. And he answered and said to his father, lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment. And yet thou never gavest me a kid, that I might make merry with my friends. But as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. Here we find that this teaches us what fathers should be. In this story, we have a dad and two sons. It describes family relationships and how different members act. Different members of the family act differently. If we think about it, if you think about this story, you can find a place in the story of you growing up through your life. All of us can put ourselves in this story. For some of us may look at our life right now and realize that we thought we were grown up, and we moved out to make our own mistakes. When we moved out, we make mistakes. When we leave the fold, we make our own way. Others may feel that we have stayed with the family and done the best we can with all kinds of limits on our lives. So the longer you stay with the family, the one son that stayed said he'd done all the commandments. He's done all of his father's wishes. He's done everything that his father wanted him to do. So there's one son that did whatever he wanted, and there's another son that stayed and did everything to please his father. Some of us are dads, and we're doing the best that we know how. In our scripture, the father gives his younger son what he asks. Dads make mistakes. Dads want the best for their kids. And we make mistakes. We're not perfect. This father, if he had it to do all over again, would he have done the same thing? Maybe not. Maybe yes. But we all make mistakes. This is an example, I think, of a father that took a third of what he had and he gave it to a son, not knowing what that son would do. And he hands his share of his inheritance to him. Dads will let their kids make mistakes and hope that they will learn from it and hope that they're not big mistakes. Dads will love you through your pain and suffering, many times never saying a word, being very good listeners and never saying anything. They suffer with their children silently because a man, according to the world, is tougher. And I think we are. I think men are different. I think they're made different. I'm not sure that the world puts that price on men to say they're tougher. I think that's just the way we are. Some women are born to shop, and some aren't. But most are. Most women are born to mother, and men aren't. They do it differently. And I think we're just different. We're inheritively different. So we are tougher. I think we are tougher. I think we speak less. In the story, we see a dad give away a third. And he lets the son leave. Live whatever life he wanted to live. Free will. He has free will. He gets to do whatever he wants. Except for the cash, that is what earthly dads end up doing. That's what we do today. We don't give the inheritance to kids as they leave. That's not our culture. But we do give our kids free will. And we do help them in any way we can. So he lets him do whatever he wants, and he comes running back. He does the wrong things. And we find in the story that the father's looking for this. He can't wait to see his son. So his father's expecting his son to come back. Maybe not in the way that he did. But for a period of time, which we don't know what that time is, his father had been without his son. And he was looking, and he saw somebody coming, and he ran to him. Ran to him and embraced him and was happy. Was happy to see his son. Was just happy. Very hard to be like this father in this story. It doesn't say anything about what he said to his son. He's just happy. Can we take our children back and be happy, no matter what they've done? It's hard for us not to say, I told you so, or you should have done this, or why couldn't you have done this? We need to make it easy for our kids to come back. We still can listen and give advice with all our kids. That's something dads need to do and moms need to do. Dads love all their kids and work hard not to choose favorites. It's very hard with several siblings, and they're all different, to not choose favorites. This dad wasn't choosing a favorite. He didn't say that the son was going to get more inheritance. He was happy to see his son. He was happy to see him back. He had to reconcile the son that was already there. So you have different individuals react different way. It's a very good story of how fathers have to be. There can be no favorites. So what do we want for Father's Day? What do we get out of this story? What do dads really want for Father's Day? And I think the number one thing that dads want for Father's Day is they want their children to be safe. I think they want their children to be safe. I think the number two thing that dads want is they want their children to go to heaven. And that's part of being safe. I guess I could interlock both of those as you want your kids to be safe and you want them to go to heaven. You want to know if something happens to your kids, they'll be in heaven. So those are the two things that I know, two of the things that I'd want for Father's Day. The other thing that men want for Father's Day is they want their kids' cars to be running, their homes to have heat, and their air conditioners to work. They want their kids to have jobs. They want their kids to make a living. They want their kids to be comfortable. Dads want to help their children when they have needs. Dads want to help kids. They want to help their kids. Dads are there to help. Dads want to be wise, and they want to make the right decisions. It's hard to know when the decision is not to say anything. A lot of dads are very good at this. Dads are very quiet. And I've known dads that can be very noisy, and when they get noisy, there's something wrong. Because usually dads are very quiet. Last thing I'd like to say is I'd like to wish the dads to have a great day today. And that ends my thoughts. And I'd like to put forth an invitation to anyone that's out there that wants to be safe. And the way that we are safe is we become part of Christ. And that we come forward and we be part of His church and part of His body. And that makes us safe. That makes us have the ability to go to heaven. We offer you that opportunity. If there's anything that you'd like to make known or be part of the congregation, come forward as we stand and sing the invitation song.